DraftSociety.com presents a Premier League Draft Fantasy Podcast. Welcome to the Key Pass Collective, your exclusive source for the information, analysis, and advice you need to dominate your fantasy leagues. Come on in. We've been expecting you.
What's going on, Draft Heads? We are joining you, or maybe you are joining us live right after the City Real Madrid penalty shootout. Tough luck to City. Sorry to all City fans. Bummer. There's some of us who are not as upset about it. Some of us who are more upset about it. Just is what it is. Thanks for coming and joining us. If you are with us live shortly thereafter, welcome in. If you're listening on the podcast, well, you already know that happened a long time ago. But regardless, we're here. We're with you. We're live now, ready to roll. I'm not laughing, Ben Chickens. He says in chat, I'm laughing at him. I'm not laughing. I'm just being smug, my friend. anyway, welcome into the KPC, Key Pass Collective. My name is Joe Williams. I'll be your host for this particular episode. Key Pass Collective, for those who need a quick reminder, is obviously the audio companion to the Draft Society website. What is the Draft Society? Well, real quickly, let me tell you. Basically, it's your one-stop shop for all of your draft fantasy football Premier League needs. We've got everything you could possibly need. Consensus rankings. We've got weekly waiver wire articles. Sleepers 11 every single week. Players you can pick up and slot into your lineup. Draft statistics that are incredibly in-depth and very, very useful. We've got articles on how to set up your leagues and all of that. Aforementioned is completely free. We've also got a subscriber-only section called the Inner Circle. If you're willing to join, that's going to be where there's a lot of added value. Weekly rest of season player rankings, weekly points projections. We're going to talk about those a little bit today. Sortable consensus rankings every single international break. Extra articles every single week. Set piece taker tracker. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And that I didn't even mention our Discord or the fact that you can send us confidential trade advice over email that none of your league mates will see. It is absolutely worth it. Check it out. And if you do sign up for the season pass, you'll get the fantasy toolkit, which is amazing. It is bespoke to your Fantrax ID and will actually give you information on your specific league, players to pick up, trade value of your players, your overall roster score, the power rankings for all the teams in your league, and newly added, we have a rest of season tool that you can use to plan for either the playoffs, if that's applicable to you for your league, or just to plan for the rest of the season. You can pick any span of game weeks and look at, once you select the span of game weeks, you can look at players' projected war, their projected games started, their projected points per game, whether or not they're available in your league, and the roster percentage in the big three community leagues, which can kind of give you an insight into how many people are buying into them in the big three leagues where people are really in the know. It's a really incredible tool, and you can customize to whichever span of game weeks that you want. If you want to focus on just the ones that are your playoffs or just the ones that are going to get you to however many points you need to win the title, it's a really amazing tool, and it's brand new. It is on there. It is on the left-hand side on the menu, and it's live for everybody to check out. So go and do just that and enjoy it. It's a lot of work, and it's been really cool and cool to see it unveiled like this. All right, today on the KPC, we're going to talk, obviously, double game week. We got to do that. We'll get stuck into the double game week tactics and some talk about some players and those types of things like we normally do, and just make sure that you guys are all prepped and ready to roll for that double game week. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the community leagues. We always talk about the big three community leagues. We're going to actually kind of mention those, talk about each one and how they're set up. and some changes or some struggles we've had this year, and how we might be able to fix those things going forward, or at least address them. And then get you some information on who to contact if you want to join any of those big three leagues for next season. Then finally, we'll leave you with waiver wire and stash candidates. So as we always do, we'll hopefully send you off with some good ideas in terms of players to pick up to hopefully dominate this week. All right, let's welcome in a couple guys that you're well and truly used to seeing at this point. No Draft Genie, but let's be honest, you wouldn't see his face if he were here anyway. Still a mystery, still a quandary, still a conundrum, that Draft Genie. But we do have Ryan, we do have Toddy. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Nice. Super. Okay, great. Yeah. Ryan, putting on a brave face. I appreciate that. yeah.
No brutal. Background, though.
No, but no. But we can see him, which is...
That's...
We haven't
been able to see him for weeks now.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. You're back in all your glory. Yeah, I mean, Europe is a bitch, guys. Toddy, we're about to see our team crash out tomorrow. So
yep. We are about to see our team get enough chances to go
win.
Through.
Yeah.
Even with a 3-0 deficit, and then crash out.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Yep.
Farmers League.
Yeah.
Yep. Prosh is talking shit in the chat. Ryan, breathe.
I can't do it. If my team wasn't going to make it back in the Champions League until the end of Mudrik's contract in 2038, I wouldn't say a single word. Like, there used to be shame. There used to be shame on the internet and in this world.
When was that? Any. When there was only one site?
Yes.
Shame on the internet.
GeoCities, yes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, yeah. Maybe you need to start giving players 10-year contracts. See what happens.
I mean, we have a great case study as to what happens.
Yeah, so. It's true. It's true.
There's always nine. Out of Europe. There's always nine.
Yep.
Yeah, the best way not to get trolled is just not to make Europe. That's the moral of the story.
Exactly. You can always have Crystal Palace finish above you.
Yeah. I'm honestly not trying to throw Chelsea under the bus, but one thing I did note today, and we'll look at this in just a second, because as we sort of move forward into a pretty natural transition, I feel like, double game week 34, we're going to start by looking at some fixture difficulty graphics. And what you can see is Chelsea squarely at the bottom, but that's not mentioning the fact that Tottenham are not on this because they do not play. So keep that in mind, obviously. Make sure that you're aware of that and taking your Spurs out of your lineups. But Chelsea with an absolutely brutal matchup and single game week. So that's pretty rough as well. And Brighton assets... I wanted to ask you guys about this. Brighton assets, are you starting anyone but Gross?
It's a tricky one because I have a Dingra in two leagues. And they can play City pretty well. And you would think if they get any joy, then it would be probably from a Dingra in transitions. But I just have better options with the DGW. I'm not gonna risk it. So
yeah, I'm the same. I would be pretty okay starting a Dingra, even JP.
Yeah.
Cause sure as hell City ain't keeping a clean sheet. But I'm blessed with the options ahead of them, both in projections and in like non numerical thought. So yeah, I'm not in a position to have to start him as it currently stands, but a lot can change until the weekend, so yeah.
I mean, I'm struggling with even Gross, but I mean, you got to start your studs, right?
Yeah, you have to start Gross. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough call. Anyway, all right, let's look towards the more positive side of this graphic here. So on top. On the left-hand side, for those watching on YouTube or on Spotify on the video version, you can see I have the forward graphic on the left side and the defensive graphic on the right side of the screen. And you see Crystal Palace leading the charge in terms of forwards, followed by Sheffield United. And then Arsenal and Wolves and Everton. What a game week. I mean, it's teams you just would never expect to see at the top of the fixture difficulty tracker. It's kind of crazy. And then as far as defense goes, you have Sheffield United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Everton, and then Palace. Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one, which means a lot of streamers to be had for these particular teams that are facing these DGWs. I'll go out and say it right away. Toddy, Liverpool defenders, how you feeling about them?
I mean, at this point, like, we're not expecting clean sheets from any of these matches. Like,
If you
look at, like, for defenders, if you look at the all the double game week plays, like all of them.
Yeah.
Probably Arsenal away at Wolves is the only one I'm medium confident about keeping a clean sheet.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest, I'm just pretty sure it's not going to be a clean sheet. So you have to change your, like, we're talking Liverpool defenders, and when we are saying, like, oh my God, do we even trust them? I think for years now, we've always thought of this question in the sense of clean sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this season, it has to go down much more towards ghost points and towards, like, tempered expectations. Like, at this point, you getting, like, close to 10 from a double game week defender should be a decent stream, a decent pickup.
I'm really struggling with this because I have Konate and Kwanzaa in two leagues. And on the face of it, I was just kind of planning on going with whoever starts the first one. But oddly enough, I'd rather them start the second one against Everton. But you can't roll the dice on, you know, the pure rotation. Whoever doesn't get the first one's getting the second one. So, like,
yeah,
it's a freaking crapshoot.
And with Trent back and Bradley out, Gomez could start at center back as well.
Could. I mean, I haven't seen Klopp do that in a really long time. And technically,
But we've conceded every game this season. So why not try it? But again, we're not talking about clean sheets here.
We're talking about rotation. So it's like,
so in that sense, I would probably try to trade Kwanzaa and Konate and then be rid of this burden.
Yeah.
I'd very much advise against starting the player who doesn't start the first game.
Just in, like, case.
No. Yeah, I would advise.
Yeah, I'm too risk averse to do that. It's just a matter of whether I want to go with the.
And I also doubt that we keep a clean sheet against Everton.
Right.
No, it's just that opposition defenders usually score pretty well.
True.
Yeah, that's fair.
Konate, I mean, got still finished with 8 against Palace, so, like, he can go pretty well still. Kwanzaa's hit or miss.
Yeah, I'd probably start Konate if he starts against Fulham, but I wouldn't be confident.
Yeah, I want to see what the lineup's like tomorrow.
But you're looking at Sheffield United defenders for Burnley and United. You're looking at Liverpool defenders for Fulham and Everton. You're looking at Arsenal defenders for Wolves and Chelsea, who none of them are available. So you have Tomiyasu.
Yeah.
Maybe someone's dropped Kiwior, but probably not. So you have possibly only those two that are available. I'd be confident starting either who starts the first game. And then Everton defenders, Forest and Liverpool, Palace defenders, West Ham and Newcastle.
No.
So like there's not going to be clean sheets in these. I think United might have a good chance of keeping a clean sheet against Sheffield United, and like Aston Villa may sneak one against Bournemouth or something like that. But I think there's going to be like one, maximum two clean sheets for the whole of the double game week for the double game week defenders. So at this point, you're just looking at you're just looking at ghost points and two starts. Like that's what you're aiming for.
And how many matches is that? Like 14? Something like that?
Yeah.
14? And you're saying over under 2.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Are you taking the over?
I don't think I am.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like there aren't many sort of extremely one-sided matchups. The only one probably is Liverpool Everton, but that being a derby brings a whole lot of other issues there. So I'd say Arsenal Wolves is the most on paper one-sided matchups.
Plus,
and maybe Sheffield United against Man United, but other than that, it's just a toss-up.
Oh man. So, in terms of streamers, let's talk defensive streamers. Like, we can slide onto the next slide here. On the screen, people are seeing the projections that we have on our site each and every game week. And just giving you a little insight into what those look like. You can get those with an Inner Circle membership. But anyway, you can see on the screen, these are the top projected players for this game week. There's only one in there that has a single game week that is projected towards the top. His name, of course, being Bruno Fernandes. But aside from that, you can see kind of what the projections will give you is projected points, obviously, opposition, roster percentage in all of Fantrax, and then also projected minutes, which is really helpful because in this particular game week, there are some players who are projected for a lot of minutes, even though they're maybe only projected for like one start. I'm thinking about like a Philip Billing. How do you guys feel about that?
Bournemouth are way too unpredictable. If he starts the first one, I mean...
Yeah, if he starts the first one, I'm definitely looking at starting him.
Yeah.
He ghosts well.
Do you guys see where I'm going with this? Like, what are some other players in that same vein? Players who could get a lot of minutes, even though maybe they don't start both games, but maybe they come in at 60 in the second match, you know, that you could still potentially pick up.
Before you said pick up, I was going to say, like, I'm starting Trossard or Jesus, regardless of if they start the first one.
I'm with you. Speaking of, because in comments, Believe said, I'm scared to start Martinelli, which...
I think he's in that category as well. You still have to start him at the least.
You're starting...
Impact meetings.
I mean, Jesus and Martinelli, I can see, but... You're starting Trossard if he doesn't start the first one.
Yeah, because he'll get enough impact sub minutes and has a chance of starting the first one. I mean, it's a quick turnaround, and he's actually done pretty well off the bench previously.
Well, this is an interesting thought experiment, actually, Toddy, because we have what? We have points per 90. On our website under our useful draft metrics, and Trossard will play approximately, what do you think, 70? over the 2 weeks if he doesn't start?
If he doesn't start the first one.
60, 70, yeah, I'd say. At the least, that's assuming he doesn't start either.
He scores about 16 points per 90.
Yeah, which is in the ballpark, and that's, yeah, I mean, you're banking on him having a decent chance of getting an attacking return and two bites of the apple. I mean, it's risky, but I think it's worth the risk.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you're just stacked.
Yeah,
unless you have somebody like a Wharton or a Lerma as a guaranteed DGW on the bench.
And you'd prefer both of them over Trossard?
If he doesn't start the first.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's close, but I'd rather rely on the guaranteed points, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm interested to, Toddy, I'm interested to see the Liverpool lineup this weekend because I have a feeling Klopp's not just going to roll over. They're going to go for it. They're going to go for it.
But I think the midfield is the biggest question because, like, everyone's done shit in the last few weeks. That, like, I cannot. Even McAllister has dropped off a bit.
It's been really bad.
Other than him, everyone's been doing very badly. Like, mm-hmm. Szoboszlai has been horrendous. Curtis Jones, okay, he's just back from injury, but still pretty bad. Endo as well. So it's like, I think that was our biggest issue, both defensively and offensively, that we had no midfield and not much has changed after Szobo came on for the second half. So that's the biggest issue he needs to solve. And
yeah,
and that's kind of, I think that's kind of where, and I don't want to go on a tangent here, but that's kind of where expectation management comes in for Liverpool. Like, all of the players that we mention here are new players, and the fact that we've effectively changed our whole midfield from one season to the next, and we are 2 points behind the champions elect at this stage of the season is pretty remarkable, and we are seeing it as a failure because the season has gone so well.
So
as for draft and as for fan tracks purposes, I think it will help us or help managers who want to draft Liverpool assets be a bit more patient with them because of the recency bias that everyone will have based on the last 8-10 games of the season where we have been shit. Like if you were drafting based on the first 10 games of the season, Madison would have gone 1-1 and Szobo would have gone at the end of the first or beginning of the second round. At this point, you might be able to get Madison in the middle of the second round next season, and you might be able to get Szobo in the middle of the fourth, based on the end of the season. So for draft purposes, I think this might change people's minds on draft day, this end of season run for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where we started off from. Like, what the Liverpool lineup is going to be. I think he's going to go back to, like, the best analogy I've heard on the Totally Football show on The Athletic. One of the analysts said that Liverpool looks like they're playing reverse Jenga. So the more sticks you put back in, the more unstable the whole tower becomes, because they were doing so well with dance and
with the children,
and as people are coming back from injury, it's just falling apart. So it's a strange situation, but I think at the end of the day, Klopp will revert back to the studs and will play like Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai, and then Robbo, MTA, and Van Dijk and Konate. So the only question mark for me is when does Darwin get the rest and sort of mental reset that he needs. I hope he gets
tomorrow.
Yeah. There's a good chance that he gets it tomorrow, which means that he might be able to play at the weekend. Jota is also one of those, like, I think probably the best candidate for starting, even if he doesn't start the first.
Oh, like, 100%.
Up there with Trossard.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. Thank you for that. Brilliant point, too.
It wasn't about Jota, what you were thinking of?
No.
Or Darwizzy?
Oh, I was just going to... Of course, it was about Darwizzy. No, I was just going to say there's... you get to a point where there's no point in rotating because what are you saving them for? Like, if you're out of Europe, like, it falls to the wall, and it's just like you're going to start your studs every single game from here on out. So,
true, we're
close to that point.
Yeah, true. That's going to make the late season double game weeks really interesting.
Yeah, that 37 is going to be a freaking mess, man.
Yeah,
it's going to be like, I pity the guys who have playoffs because it's gonna be like and what we usually have in game week 38 when all these randos come out of the woodwork and all these old guys get their 35 minutes from a start and whatever. And I think that will start in game week 37 this season. which is gonna be a real shit show.
Yeah, so because first time in a playoff league, and it'll be the semifinals in 37 because I get a bye for 36. So it's just like, who am I gonna face? Someone that's loaded up with City and Newcastle and Spurs.
It reminds me of when I started my NFL fantasy league when I was back in college with my buddies. And none of us like knew how to set up a league properly. So we had, of course, the end of the season, we had set up for playoffs, as you do, especially in NFL fantasy. There's no like table, quote unquote. It's all playoff based. So the championship week was the final week of the season, which no one seemed to think was an issue until we got there. And there's fucking like backup quarterbacks playing, and you know, like all of like the stud running backs have been sat by their teams because they're saving them for the playoffs.
I always thought that was so dumb. Yeah, it's still people that most of the leagues still do that. I was just like, what?
Yeah,
I have absolutely to move it up at least a week or two.
It's so stupid. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you basically lose a week of fantasy.
Yeah, I don't mind it in like proper non-playoff leagues. Because you can just plan for it or try to mitigate for it, and also if it's probably as I'm thinking about it, because like in NFL fantasy, there's no like underlying league going full season, and then just the other guys are playing the championship.
Right,
it's just like it's effectively two teams that need to have enough players to pick up. So if we did the same and everyone, like we did the championship game in game week 38 with no, like the proper league not continuing, everyone else just dropping all their players and then just a free for all for those two teams, which would be fine, I think, because then it would just pit you against the dude who gets the best players from the available ton of players, but it's not that. It's random dudes getting stuck on rosters that are locked because they have been out of the playoffs and not playing and whatever. So I think that may be a decent solution, so that if you have a playoff league and the league itself doesn't continue while the playoffs are going, then just make everyone drop every player they have from their roster, and then the two championship contenders will have all the players to pick up players from.
Yeah, Draft Jafar says fab considerations would be crazy. I totally agree, and they have what you're describing, Toddy. I think we've talked about this a couple of years ago, you and I did, and you were like, oh, that sounds like an amazing idea. It's called a guillotine league. And so basically you start with, like, let's say 20 teams in the league. Your draft is like pretty brutal because you have to pick up, you know, random ass guys that that may or may not play, and you know, you have to have a really good feel for the player pool in the league. But then every week a team is eliminated. Or maybe in this you would do every other week or something like that, or every 3 weeks, right? But then all of their players are immediately cut to the waiver wire. And so all of those players are then able to be bid upon by anybody who wants to bring them in. It's crazy. It'd be really fun. I don't know how I don't think we could, even with all of Fantrax's bells and whistles, I don't think we could make it happen.
What bells and whistles?
I just mean settings.
Cowbells.
All the settings. All
defaults of factory settings, you mean.
All the toggle switches they have.
My 5-year-old made a whistle in summer camp last season. That sounds like Fantrax bells and whistles.
Made a whistle.
Yeah, it was just like a piece of wood. She needed to carve out a little hole at the end, and then tie a piece of cloth, or it wasn't cloth. It was like a piece of paper at the end. Mm-hmm. So if you held it to your mouth and then blew on it, then the paper made a sound. So
it's a kazoo.
It's a kazoo.
Yeah.
So that's it's awesome. Fantrax.
Fantrax, not bells and whistles, but kazoos. I like that. All right, let's go back to this real quick. So we talked first game, no starts for the most part. We talked defensive strategy for this game week in that don't expect clean sheets. So are you guys looking at players who have ghosting potential?
I mean, yeah, but I'm mostly looking for DGW guys. I'm mostly looking at guys that either have crazy upside or I think are going to start both games and have a decent floor.
I was going to say, I don't know that I'm starting more than three defenders in either of my leagues.
Yeah, if I can help it, I'm going to do, probably a 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 in almost all of my leagues.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I got Gabriel Magalhães, and then it'll be a matter of the two I pair him with. But yeah, I mean, Ashley Young is not giving me the warm and fuzzies this week after dropping a minus 19.
Yeah.
I might have to go 5-3-2 in my home league.
Oh,
I like it.
It's decent though. It's like it's Trent.
Okay.
Kiwior, Danny Munoz, and Tarkowski, and then one off Nathan Collins or Joe Gomez.
All right. Okay.
Possibly not many five defender sets that you can put together that will score better in this double game week, but yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing that, I will have to start Damsgaard. So
yeah.
So there are issues.
That makes sense. All right. So there's kind of defensive strategy, it more or less. It's going to be kind of brutal in my estimation. So DraftLad left us a couple of notes. Did you guys get a chance to check those out in our Slack about this conversation that we are going to have? I can pull them up in just a second. He was saying some double game week thoughts that he was thinking of. Injury related things. He said some DGW relevant injuries to watch are Branthwaite. Because
I have Keane in my streamers.
So my only question there is, do you think he starts both?
I don't want him to start the second one.
And why is that?
Because they'll all go negative.
Oh, you want him to just play the first? And I got you.
Bank the 10 or 11 bullshit ghost points from conceding two goals, mm-hmm. and then sit the second one. You did your job.
Yeah, that is actually a good way to look at
that. It's not bad. That's not bad.
First time you're going to like look at lineups and be like, yes, he's not going.
I like that.
Beautiful.
All right. Fair enough. He says Coleman or Patterson could result in Godfrey double start. Not interested in Godfrey.
Not overly interested, unless there is a Dyche says tomorrow or whenever the press conference is that both of them are definitely out.
Yeah.
Then I might need to go there, but I'd rather not.
Yeah, that's fair. Ait Nouri, Ryan, you know anything about his status?
No. I thought that he was going to be close last weekend, but of course didn't make it. So
Wolves' defense has been doing very badly, hasn't it?
Like, yeah. Huh. Yeah, they've been bad. I think the rest of those defenders are traps.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be looking to start Wolves defenders. Hey, Sanji.
How's it going, boys?
I'll be goddamned. Sanji, what is up?
I thought I would crash. Just finished recording with Robbie, actually.
Nice. Yeah. It's never crashing if you're welcome.
Hey.
I would. Crashing is probably not the word. A prodigal son, maybe.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, you went. Both of you went and did something else, and then you're back.
I've now returned. Yeah, that's fair.
I expect you're expecting us to start praising Chelsea.
No. Never. Ryan, I send my condolences and hugs.
Thank you. I need them. I need them all.
You're throwing all right. them in a hug void, though.
Mm-hmm. We, Sanji, we were talking injuries that may affect the double game week. So
we were just saying that that we are not liking any of the Wolves defenders other than Ait Nouri
or Kilman, maybe.
Maybe, but he hasn't been good.
I don't like any of them.
Yeah, he's been brutal recently.
So this was something we discussed on the pod as well. It's like one of the questions was, would you rather go Arblaster or Wolves defender?
Arblaster,
not close.
Arblaster.
Yep.
On namesake, right? Alone. So
he's also against me this week. So
Joe, you need to, you know what your article needs to be? Is the 11 like combine an 11 of like low owned players that you're facing in your leagues.
Yeah, and that Ryan.
That will be
facing.
The best article, I think. Like, yeah, you and Ryan. Like it will be the best article, most successful article, I think.
That can go in our new inner circle. Discord channel.
There you go. Yeah.
Commiserations and congratulations.
There you go.
That's the name of the channel. We have that now. And
it is there. I will not be using it.
Able, no.
I mean, you'd be writing it, but you know.
You are the birth father of the channel.
I know, but
come on, there's two of them.
Like, I'll continue to bitch to you guys in our group chat, and I will refuse to use that channel. It happens. You signed up for this. You signed up for this. Yeah.
Is that in the TDS contract that we signed all of them?
Yes, exactly.
You have to suffer through the game weeks. And with you two coming up with the most random benched player comes on for 2 minutes at the end of the game, and somehow someone started them against you.
What was it, Edward 3 weeks ago? didn't even start the match. Anyway, I won't bore you with my opponent's lineup this week because it's Haaland, Doku, Sarabia, Palmer. I'm just going to get dominated. It's fine. But back to the injuries. So, Draftlad mentions DCL. Maybe fit for one. You got the whole Beto thing going on. That's a mess. I'm not starting Beto. I probably would start DCL if he's starting the first one.
What if he's on the bench for the first one?
I'm not doing it.
No.
I don't think so.
And it's Liverpool in the second one. Like, even if they score, they're not going to score multiple goals. They're not going to have the ball for enough time to make something happen with it. So you're just looking at, like, possibly a goal.
And
it's going to be McNeil to Tarkowski anyway, so.
Yep, fair. I don't know that we need to mention any or necessarily many more of these guys. They're all kind of peripheral players. He mentioned Semenyo, which
I was going to say Semenyo is an interesting one because Iraola seems to love him. And if he's fit enough for the bench, then I think he has a decent shot of playing useful minutes. But
yeah, fair.
Like your decision is gonna be like one of these randos against a player on a bad matchup. Like, so if you were to go back here, so if you're looking at, like, would you start Semenyo from the bench or Adingra?
Ooh.
Or DCL from the bench. Ooh. or who should I put? Or like Edward or Mateta. So it's like it's Sophie's choice. Both are gonna be shit.
Just go with your heart.
There you go.
Yeah.
With that guarantee, I don't know why you wouldn't start all of them.
Sophie's choice famously
and did well
about two shits.
Yeah. Sophie's choice always ends well. All right. Any traps that you guys are deliberately avoiding that you've seen people pick up that you have thought about and then talked yourself out of bringing in?
Is it because of injury or rotation as well?
No, just traps in general. Just any trap players that you're avoiding for this week.
I think most middling defenders. Yeah, we already talked about Wolves. I don't think I'd start Zabarnyi because he's been pretty bad, and I don't see them keeping a clean sheet either. So probably get like 4 or 5 combined over the two. Yeah, it's mostly defensive traps this week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Palace midfielders or something like that. Not named Lerma.
I think Wharton's good enough.
Wharton's decent, but
7.5 last
but
time.
It's like Schlupp,
I wouldn't do Will Schlupp Hughes
or
anybody,
Will Hughes.
Yeah. Will Hughes, yeah. Somehow still banging around in the Premier
League. Everton defensive midfielders. Tam. Seem like they are made of glass. Onana, Gay, Andre Gomes, I wouldn't start any of those.
What about Doyle from Wolves?
Draft Lad mentioned him as well. He said, hold on one second, in his note to us, he said, let me see. Great radio.
Huang.
I don't think he's going to start.
I don't think he's going to start too. Yeah, with Huang coming back.
What about the Arsenal defense situation with Kivior, Zinchenko?
I'd still start whoever starts the first one. I think at left back.
And just hope they start the second one.
Just roll with it. Yeah. Be content with what they are likely to get in the first game, and then yeah, the second one's a bonus. So yeah, if Kiwi start in the first one, I'll roll them out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I said it at the beginning of the pod that I think that Wolves Arsenal game is one of those that has possibly the highest clean sheet possibility of all the double game week games. So even if you're getting one game and some garbage time points from your Arsenal left back, I'd still start them.
I think Jorginho is probably a trap. I don't think there's a guarantee that he starts both. And he scores like shit unless he gets a random assist. So I think he's a trap.
Yeah, cool. That's fair.
I think most double game week defensive midfielders are traps. Like you
Smoking will, Endo.
Yeah.
Endo's first. A good one. I looked at him multiple times and have talked myself out of it every single time.
Yeah, Caicedo and the likes. Obviously, they're not doubling this week, but that's for future weeks as well. But yeah.
Sanji, you're muted. Not,
yeah, I was gonna ask Harvey Elliott if he's benched for that first one. Would you risk it?
No.
He
was like last double game week. He went off even though he was benched in the first one. Same as Gakpo, right?
I almost put him in my streamers.
Gakpo got like 50 points or something.
I honestly might. I might start Gakpo from the bench. I might. I don't roster him anywhere, but honestly, just given he's actually been, dare I say, decent lately. And yeah, this team needs anything at the moment. So Gakpo could even get a start in there. I would probably start him, even from the bench. Elliott is really borderline. Really, really borderline. Because
enough players back that he,
yeah,
especially if he starts tomorrow.
I don't think he will. I think it's going to be the studs, and I think Klopp's going to run them into the ground. I think he's going to let them try to win this thing
for tomorrow or for the league?
For tomorrow. You don't think so?
I think Elliott is one of those guys who's done well against more open opponents like Atalanta, so you might start with the studs, but who knows if he starts. Like he's not in the rotation per se. He's not like always coming on. He's not been nailed on in second games in double game weeks on short weeks. So it's not, I wouldn't be comfortable starting him. And then the Gakpo thing as well, he's been so bad at actual scoring.
Right.
For fantasy that even if he starts the second one.
I wouldn't start
him. And he's definitely behind Jota as well. So if
he's been better recently. He's been somewhat better.
He smashed that double though, and like when he came off the bench, I think he got the most accurate crosses in game week 33. Yeah, last game week. He came off the bench, got 4 accurate crosses in 23 minutes. So I think I'm a Joe. I'd start Gakpo, I think, if he's benched for that first one. I'd risk it.
You know what's crazy about Gakpo though? In his last 6 games played for Liverpool, he has 4 negative scores. How is that possible?
I mean, I saw most of those minutes, and I can fully attest to him.
Wow.
Good points.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
and only one of them involved a yellow card. That is wild.
Yeah.
That, wow.
I don't want Gakpo.
Making me second guess. Yeah.
If you're desperate, because at that point is that they're playing on a Sunday evening.
Yeah.
So at that point, you might be desperate enough to go for a Gakpo punt. If starting lineups don't help you,
yeah. But
otherwise, I wouldn't count on, like, I wouldn't put him in my quote unquote bus team.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was gonna put Elliot in my streamers, but I took him out when I saw when Liverpool were playing, because if they were playing earlier in the week, I probably would have put him in there. Because why not just grab him? Roster him now, just in case. But yeah, being as it's later in the game week, absolutely not. Because, yeah, you need to just go with something that's more of a sure thing. All right. Anyway, let's talk, guys. Let's talk quickly here. Maybe not super quickly, but we're going to talk about some of the community leagues here real quick. So this is a conversation we've been having a little bit on Discord, in the Inner Circle Discord, where some good conversations had, and also at TDS headquarters, we've been talking about this quite heavily because we're thinking about how we want to structure a league next year, and more on that in a minute. But we wanted to just quickly kind of go through the big three community leagues and what they are and how they're run, how they're set up, and give people kind of an insight into what those are and how you all are enjoying them. And then talk through some of the struggles we're facing, I think, as a community now that Twitter is defunct. And maybe any ideas that we have for that. And chat, we'd love to hear anything that you all have to say about any of that as well. So your big three community leagues. We have the DPL Community League, we have the International Genie League, and we have the Discord Super League, all kind of run by different folks, and all were sort of brainchildren of different folks as well. And they now are all pretty storied and have some history behind them, and have, you know, managers who are pretty, what do you want to say, pretty loyal to these different leagues. And so let's kind of talk through some of those. Toddy, do you want to run us through the DPL Community League and what that's about?
Yeah, and you can help me with that as well.
Happy to.
So this is effectively the first or the oldest of all the community leagues. We started it with Joe, Will Rivers, myself, and a few of the community OGs. At first we had two leagues, two divisions, and now we have 12 divisions, which is crazy. It's Fantrax default scoring, $42 buy-in. We have long in-season cup, one long cup. It's no playoffs, and last season we introduced two seasons ago, we introduced the gold and silver leagues, which means that all the division winners for the upcoming or for the next season were put together into a gold league, and all the division runner-ups were put together into silver league. The rest of the divisions stay the same, and I think it was we had two from the gold league and two from the silver league stay on, and the rest were from the division winners. This is how we played up until at the end of this current season.
Yeah,
We have been discussing a bigger change in the structure, which will involve, most likely involve, splitting the DPL Community League into two factions, one aiming to sort of follow on from its storied origins, being the oldest league founded in the draft PL community, continuing on and having sort of a cream of the crop, less teams, less divisions, but the best managers around,
diehard,
and the other faction, so to say, of the community league. Hopefully, we are planning to have a more inclusive draft PL experience.
Mm-hmm.
We are still working on the details on how we are going to do that, but some of the issues that we have been facing this season, especially in all of the community and most of the sort of virtually recruited leagues, let's just put it like this.
So
the non home mates
in person type, right,
in person type leagues, we have had a huge drop off in engagement, in chats, in like proper real life community building, because the main idea of the community league was that all of us who were at that point in the Twitter community, we all had our home leagues and we were discussing them day and night, and we wanted to grow the community, we wanted to build a camaraderie on for the people who met and quote unquote met online while searching for draft answers, and we want to continue that. And at this point in time, we feel that the community or the sort of draft, the people who play draft, need something different than what they needed 6 years ago, 5 years ago. So we are working on trying to fill those needs, especially since we are hoping that having a more casual type of league might help us engage FPL players a bit more too. So that is the plan for the community league.
So
we still have a few more game weeks to play. We still have a cup final to play this season, which I've unfortunately fallen short of in the semi-final. But yeah, so it's going to be an exciting end to the season. But we have seen a fair few number of issues that if we let him, Ryan will be able to talk about a lot, and Sanji as well.
As
they are in the same community league division, and probably both of us, Joe, if we are being honest.
I mean,
about players left in the lineups, about illegal lineups being left unattended, about group chats not being alive at all. So I felt that with all the leagues this season. So it's not a community league problem, it's a whole community wide problem, I think.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting, something to really kind of mull over, like what could be done about that. I mean, Tom mentions, so going AFC NFC vibes when you mentioned the split between the community league. No, our vision basically is to take it in a different direction in terms of, you know, like you mentioned, Toddy, offering the one league that is going to cater more to the diehard managers, and then one that's actually going to end up being very friendly to folks who want to check in once or twice or three times a week, and be able to set a lineup and not have to live and breathe and die ultimately draft fantasy, and but still want to have the rush of head-to-head matchups every week and you know, live table and taking on their mates and being able to do all of that, which you don't really get in FPL, but sort of like a crossover of the two a little bit, though it will still obviously be very, very draft focused. So anyway, yeah, not auto subs, probably not. No, I Omar asked in chat if it's going to be auto subs. I highly doubt auto subs, just because they can be abused so easily.
Yeah, with unlimited pickups. So auto subs is a good question, or it's a good concept to discuss, I think, and it's worth thinking about, because that's also a life helper in a way. But the way Fantrax works, I think auto subs works best with OFPL, because they have limited number of transfers and lineup lock. If you don't have those two, then any type of rule that you fashion together with auto subs is going to have a loophole to be abused.
Yeah. Cool. All right, moving on. International Genie League. Ryan or Sanji, are either of you part of this and want to give us the rundown?
I mean, we're in a league, International Genie League together.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. I mean, the basically, like, main difference with this one is, like, this one has playoffs, right?
And and promotion relegation.
Yeah. So I mean, this one's a bit of a different dynamic, I think. Like, when you're even drafting and stuff like that, I would think, because I feel like for this one, I sometimes kind of look at, like, the last three fixtures for, like, the clubs, or, like, the closing out period for certain clubs. Like, I look that far and maybe sometimes draft accordingly or whatnot. But yeah, I mean, IGL, it's the same sort of vibe, I think, to DPL, as in it's another great opportunity to kind of network, meet different people, compete cross leagues, that sort of stuff. Is there, I don't know if there's a trade lock off in this one. Is there, Ryan?
In our league? I'm not an IGL. I'm not sure.
Oh. Is there a trade lockoff in this?
I'm trying to look. Let's see. I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not seeing one, because I know when I logged in today to...
Yeah, there is.
There is?
There is. There has to be.
I don't think there is for the rigged cup.
Yes, there is. Sorry. Yes, there is.
Okay. There is. Okay.
Saturday the 27th of April.
Okay, so it's pre-rigged.
One of our main commissioner, helping us out.
So this one's interesting, like, because I think one of the cup finals happened here, and like Tash was in there. He's one of the, I guess, if people who are in the community, Draft Tash, you should know him. He's fairly, I guess, popular.
He's awesome.
He came up against a guy in the final who traded specifically for this final. So that is one thing I probably want to maybe adjust, I guess, in Genie League. Because I know DPL, we've locked it off already. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
At the end of last game week.
Yeah. So that's probably the only thing I'd maybe change. But other than that, it's another fantastic brainchild, I think, that the community has come up with.
Genie League is incredibly well run. We've got Josh. We've got Josh in chat right now, and he's kind of the main behind the scenes guy running this league. And it takes a lot of work, and I'm in awe of everything that he does there. It's really, really well run. With all the tiers and all the promotion relegation and everything. It's a blast. And they do such a great job of running this league. And it's cheaper than any other league you're going to find, which is awesome. Although we should have mentioned probably that the community league, the DPL community league, is going to be a little bit cheaper next year as well. But regardless,
and also it's correlated to prize money as well.
Sure. So yeah. Of course. Of course.
You win more in higher buy-in leagues. But I wanted to ask you guys about playoffs in the IGL. For me, it's a bit like, I don't know if I've said this before, but for me, it's a bit like the prisoner guard experiment, because it's such an arbitrary thing to have promotion and relegation in a fantasy setting. Like, it's essentially what it's doing is mixing up the managers. There's no higher glory, there's no higher payout, there's no, so it doesn't change your day-to-day experience,
yeah,
to be in the top tier or bottom tier or whatever. It's just an arbitrary system of leagues or divisions to me, it's like you're gonna be the guard and you're gonna be the prisoner, and then it fully changes your view on things, and you're all in on promotion playoffs, and you're getting excited, and you're biting your nails on whatever. But at the end of the day, what you gain is a new set of league mates at the end of the season.
True. Yeah, Josh clarifies there is a cup advantage that you get.
But it's also it's also arbitrary. Like, it's
sure.
It's you have, so the cup advantage is the most sort of feasible advantage, because I assume it's a seeding system. So higher leagues will be seeded, and then you enter the cup later, just like they would in the Champions League or in tennis,
like FA Cup and stuff like that.
FA Cup or whatever. So you have a higher chance of winning it all at the end of the cup if you're playing less games, obviously. So yeah, well, nice. But it's just a strange situation for me, like a strange mindset of getting excited about promotion relegation in a fantasy context.
It's just a rush. Yeah, it's just like the rush of trying to get promoted versus the shame of trying to avoid relegation.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess I will attest that it does give you something to kind of play for as the season progresses. Like, I'm solidly mid-table right now, but a couple of losses could easily find me in the bottom or near the bottom. And this is the league where I'm playing the aforementioned team that has, you know, like, just an absolutely ridiculous team of Haaland and Doku and Sarabia and Palmer. And it's just going to be a really long week, but that's fine.
My condolences, Joe. I came up against him this game week, so I faced the Palmer.
Christ. Yeah.
So, good luck.
Yeah. According to Fantrax, he is projected for 211 to my 210, but we all know what Fantrax projections are.
The Bible.
Yeah, the Bible, exactly. Anyway, yeah, we'll get you some contact info on Genie League if you want to get in that later, or apply to get in that for next season. The last of the three big community big leagues is the Discord Super League. Obviously, given its name, it used to be run exclusively on Discord. It still is. I mean, it's through Fantrax, sure, but all the communication runs through Discord. But the funny thing, or I guess the ironic thing, is they are trendsetters in that basically all league communication now takes place on Discord because of the demise of Twitter. So these guys were ahead of their time. They run a fantastic league. It is extremely, extremely well run and clean, and the rules are very clear. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. It's, again, another promotion relegation league, and there are four tiers. This is kind of like the AFC-NFC thing that you were talking about, Tom, earlier. in chat is each tier has two divisions within that tier. And so you end up playing against people in those divisions in different cup matches and in playoffs, more importantly. There are two different in-season cups. Again, Fantrax default scoring, $40 buy-in. And the most important thing about this league to wrap your head around is that these are 10-team leagues. So you end up with a stronger roster, but so does everybody else. And it is definitely an experience. If you've only ever played in 12-team leagues, 10-team leagues are a little bit of a wake-up call. It seems like it wouldn't be. It's only two teams. But those extra 24 to whatever, 30, however many, 32, 36 players in the pool make a huge difference. They make massive difference.
I mean, 10-team leagues are really good, like, for wives and girlfriends and toddlers to play in. Because they will know everyone on the waiver wire.
True. That's a good point.
I mean, that's what 10-team leagues are for. Yeah. For like lower level players to come up to the 12-team threshold.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's a whole different strategy. You can't hold on to players as long. You know, if you're waiting for someone to come good, you just can't. Yeah, like Tom says in chat. You got to be a lot more brutal with your roster spots. Yeah, totally. I completely agree. It's a different mindset. It's great. It's really fun. So we'll get you all the information for who to contact for any of these leagues if you want to get involved for next year. But quickly, we were kind of talking about the demise of Twitter. We were talking about league chats and zombie teams. We've moved over to Discord. But I mean, aside from that, you know, have you guys been thinking about any other potential fixes or solutions to kind of like rallying the troops in the community and trying to foster some more interactivity, if you will, for next season?
I mean, the issue is the players are out there.
Yeah.
So the minimal information that we are getting from Frantrax is that the game is growing. There are more players around.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's no like huge community on Twitter makes me think that there are places that there is. Obviously we have the Discord, which is great, much, much better than that Twitter ever was, I think, for sort of taking care of an already existing community. But getting new people to find us if we are only on Discord is very difficult. So
that's the problem.
I've no idea, and this is like an open question to anyone listening to this podcast, either live in the chat or later, to come at us, DM us about where you consume draft stuff, where you find answers, where you interact with people, where you look for resources, where you ask your questions. And if that's not Twitter or Discord, then tell us where, and we'll be there with you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, that's, I mean, that, I don't know if there's much more to say. Draft Espresso says Fantrax internal chat, which is worst.
I mean, maybe some people use it.
I bet you they do.
I think we've only ever used internal chat on draft day.
Yeah.
When we're meeting for the first time.
Yeah. Use it for trades.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
now, whenever you offer something, it comes through as a chat.
Yeah, yeah. That's new this season.
I do kind of like that, actually.
Yeah,
it's nice because you don't have everybody's number.
Especially
in leagues where you don't know everybody. So it's like,
yeah.
And it helps you to keep track of your trades, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you, I mean, I'm sure like we all have like WhatsApp groups and stuff for chats. Have you ever had a phone call with a random league member ever?
A phone call?
No,
I don't from the like
from your league
online community thing.
Yeah.
Like obviously home league, we watch games together and draft and whatever. But a phone call.
You mean imagine like old fashioned? Like
imagine doing a phone call for a trade.
It's like, can Tommy come to the phone? Because I want to trade with them.
It would be much more efficient, to be honest.
Yeah,
but awkward as hell. What if that person sounds nothing? I mean, I guess what did you even picture them sounding like? I don't know. This is a weird conversation, Sanji.
I've had
people look. So I've had somebody in our home league call me for advice on a trade, and I mean we all know him. It was Andres. I was like walking home from work one day.
I know this doesn't surprise me at all.
And he actually called you.
Calling me. He actually called me for advice on a trade. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
So Andres.
That's so great. Well, we can leave it with that because that's a great story. All right, if you're interested, so the DPL Community League, which will be expanding and potentially splitting next year, just get at us at the Draft Society. We're going to be running that league next year, so there'll be some good changes and some big things coming. The International Genie League, you've got Draft Genie, the founder of that league and namesake, of course. And then, or you can hit up at @FPL_boss_ on Twitter. He is, if you're curious about logistics or how the payout goes or anything like that, he's going to be your go-to.
Or just hit up the IGL Twitter account.
Yeah, or that too. Yeah, that account's super active as well. So International Genie League has its own Twitter account, and that'll work too. Discord Super League, you're going to want to DM at BeefRed1, Beef, B-E-E-F, Beef, like Beef, Red1, on Twitter. Hit him up, and he'll get you into the Discord community, because you will need an invite to get in there. So, hit him up, and all of these you'll probably have to apply. We have a ton of applicants every year, but obviously always welcoming new managers, and there's always some that kind of go zombie and don't stay active that we eventually have to shoo out the door at the end of the season. So there are always spots. Check it out. Come on over.
We're still waiting on a lawsuit as well.
Right. Yes, we are. that's a story for, I don't know, how many years have to go by before we can tell that story? At least a few.
I think we can tell the story.
NBA lapse.
The NDA.
Yeah, I think we still got a couple years on that.
Mm-hmm. But we need to tell that in person. I think that's the only loophole that is left.
There you go.
Casper, Wyoming story.
You have to.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, if anyone's in Casper, Wyoming, text us a good few months before, and we'll go there as well.
You have to. Yeah, KPC After Dark episode.
Yeah.
Nice, Tom. No, yeah. You have to come to a Draftapalooza in order to hear that story.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. I was going to call it Drafting After Dark, but Tom already got.
Ooh, that's very good. That's very good. Yeah. All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up. Ryan, hit us with your streamers if you would for this week.
All right. Nothing revolutionary to begin with. I mean, Lerma is exactly who you're looking for in a DGW. It's going to start both games, probably 6 to 8. With the potential to randomly get an attacking return. So you're looking at about 15, which is lovely jubbly for a DGW. Arblaster, disappointed with his outing, but I mean, the 1 point score was masked by the random own goal. So he should have gotten like 6. And again, 6 times 2 is just fine by me. And got a good matchups, I think, for Sheffield United attackers with Burnley at home. And then, the gift that keeps giving, that is Manchester United. So I still like him.
Ryan, he had five. Week. He had 5 dribbles in that game.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. He like keeps picking a random category to ball out on. The previous one was key passes. I think he had 4 or 5.
Yeah, he had 5. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't have any this time. So, yeah, hopefully he puts it all together against Burnley. But no, I still like rolling him out here besides and he might have been overlooked or dropped after the one pointer. So let's hope he starts both. He should. He's pretty established despite the own goal. Kiwi's kind of a dart throw. We've talked about it ad nauseum. The left back spot at Arsenal has kind of been back and forth. I think he's probably like 51-49 to start this weekend. I could also see Zinni getting back in there. But if he starts, we talked about it earlier, I think I'm rolling him out and being content with just the one. And if he gets the two, then it's a nice bonus. But I think he's been harshly dropped because he had a good run in the league, and one half against Sané is not enough to drop him. So we'll see if Arts Edwards Bird's back. But I like Kiwi. Obviously, last one. I think you shouldn't be afraid to roll out some single game week punts, like Reyna, who looked pretty lively last week at 16 with an assist. So about eight ghosts. So great matchup versus Everton. So I wouldn't be scared to roll him out as opposed to just going on a random DGW defender. So.
Yeah,
that's your lot.
Nice, I like it. I have Reyna in the league. I'm hoping, crossing fingers. I was surprised to see that he was still 50% rostered.
A lot of Americans took him, and then because I think there was a lot of sunk costs with, everybody having Fab, and he was
nobody
January transfer. Yeah,
I know that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In that case, I just don't know what it takes for you to drop a player.
Yeah, it's all non-active leagues. I mean, all the leagues.
I suppose.
He was dropped a long time ago.
Yeah, that's fair.
But by me.
Same. Me too. I have him in a league now again, so we'll see.
Yeah, I held off on getting him back because I think I'd already punted on Nunes and I forget somebody else. So I was just like, yeah, he's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Toddy, hit us with yours for the week.
We've already talked about Michael Keane, and we have established that we are hoping that he only starts the first round. Senesi is back, and he was back to his attacking returning ways straight after. He was back from the injury. Bournemouth double game week is a potential trap with two away games at Wolves and Villa or something like that. But I still expect Sadensi to do well enough to sort of be an extra scorer this week. And my single game week punt is Elliot Anderson, who is most likely nailed on rest of the season, with Joe Willock being out, confirmed rest of the season. And he's a decent shout for this week as well against Crystal Palace. He ghosts pretty well. But he's more like a rest of the season punt could hold.
Sheffield United and Burnley after that. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the
very
double.
Nice. And then the yeah. Okay. Okay. I like
okay.
that.
Okay.
He is 8% rostered.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it, Ty. That's a deep one. All right. Mine for the week. Well, I figured, why not? You never know with goalkeepers. You could get one from your goalkeeper. You could get 15. But being as they're so random, why not take one of them who has a double game week? So Gerbich and Hendo are both out there, in a lot of leagues. Not if you're in the leagues with Ryan, they're not, but, they're out there, they're out there in others. So check it out if you need a keeper. I flipped, Flecken for Hendo this week. It's worth a shot because of the randomness of goalkeepers. We talked about Dango earlier. I already had him on here. Love him. And I thought I deleted Harvey Elliott, but I apparently didn't on this screen. So I guess I'm in for that as well. Harvey Elliott, especially, I mean, if he starts the first, I'm in. Let's do this. Why not? If he doesn't, maybe that's a little bit of like, I don't know. Yeah. I was going to delete it and didn't. Just, we'll go with that. And then, I know he doesn't always score well, and I know there's talk of Archer being back and potentially Ben Brereton not starting both. Every single time that I watch this team, he is, aside from like Hamer, he's the best player on the pitch. I mean, he's giving them everything he's got. I just love his work rate. I think that he's one of their better players, and that's saying something on that team. So basically, check your league. He's rostered in most community leagues at this point. But if you've got a home league or if you've got a community league that's not as active, he might still be out there. Just, you know how good how tasty their double game week is this week. You probably pick him up for that, and then you could drop him again if you want to. But he's got a good opportunity this week to do something, hopefully. So check your league, see if he's out there. Those are mine. Sanji, anything you want to add to any of those players or anyone that you're kind of keeping in your back pocket?
Yeah, I think along the same theme as what you guys did with a couple of double gimmickers and a single gimmick player. I think like three of the assets you guys mentioned are in the article that I wrote for this week. So if you haven't read it yet, go check out the Draft Society blog.
Do it.
Go read it.
Blog.
Yeah. Isn't it blog? It says blog on the website URL sometimes for me, but
yeah,
it's a website. Go read it. Go check it out.
No, I love fantastic. To think about it as a blog, like we're in like the early 2000s writing.
I'm telling a story, Tony.
I mean, if that is a blog, is this a vlog?
This is a vlog.
I mean, it is live, so yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. But to add on to the picks that you guys mentioned, would be two other Palace players. We talked about one already, Adam Wharton. I think you expect the same sort of points that Arblaster would give, like a 6 to 7 sort of range. So same logic as Ryan. Times that by two, it's an easy mid-4, mid-5 sort of pick. And the other one I want to suggest, it's probably going to be harder for you to get, but Tyreek Mitchell. He's gotten better under Glasner. I think he's ghosting under Hodgson, he was ghosting like 5 per game. So now he's doing like 7 per game. He's playing a bit further forward, moving from left back to left wing back. And he got the attack and return for Eze's goal, right? He got the assist. I think he was second highest Crystal Palace scorer as well last game week. So I really like him for the double. Palace are one of 3 teams to have both their games at home. I think even the opposition they're facing, there's a chance for him to maybe get a goal as well. But other than that, single game weeker, I kind of like Pinnock as a possible punt versus Luton. He's back from injury. I saw him sub on for the game that I went to. I mean, Brentford fans love him. I think he's going to be a monster, especially against a Luton team that put in a lot of crosses. So I think they could use his aerial presence. So I like that punt if he gets the start.
Nice. I was going to say, in terms of Mitchell, he was the number one most picked up player across Fantrax this week. Mm. So in community leagues, in the big 3 community leagues that we talked about earlier, he went from, and this is just this game week, he went from being rostered at 35% to 80% in one game week. In one waiver run, even, I should say.
Yeah, it's pretty mental.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. All right, listeners, thank you so much for joining us. 2 things that you should do. 1 is join us for a live stream if you haven't yet. They're a blast. Chat, you guys are amazing, as always. Come in and hang out with these guys. Chat is a great place to be, and it's a lot of fun. And get your comments up on screen and give a shit while we're talking. The second thing you should do is DM one of the accounts that we mentioned and get yourself into one of the community leagues for next year. We need more managers who are going to be devoted and more managers who are going to be attentive to their teams. So if that is you, get involved and get in there and win yourself some money. It's a blast. You make some... I mean... Everybody you're looking at on the screen currently, we used to be in community leagues together, and now we real life are actual friends. It's pretty cool. I like these guys quite a bit. This could be you having new friends. Anyway, I'll leave it there. All right. Have a great one, y'all. Best of luck on the game week. Hoping for a miracle for Liverpool, but it's not going to happen. That aside, hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful game week. We'll talk to everyone soon. DM us if you have any questions. Cheers, everybody. KPC out.